Jesus died for all his own, and Jesus died for me. Oh, let thy grace inspire my soul with strength divine. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died my
soul,
and Jesus died for me.
Good hymns, aren't they? All right, go back to 2 Corinthians 12 with me now and read verse 9. Again, Paul speaking of a thorn in the flesh, he asked the Lord to remove, and the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace is sufficient for thee, our Lord said. Now, that's the verse that spoke to me in reading this chapter quite some time ago, and it's been with me ever since, and I wanted to deal with it again. And then I started looking at it, and it was so glorious that I thought, I can't do this. But then that verse spoke to me again, saying, my grace is sufficient. Who is sufficient for these things, Paul said, to declare God's grace? But we'll do what we can by His grace. The first verse, the first verses leading up to this are important. They're vital. Now more than ever, I want us to look at these verses leading up to this. Paul's apostleship, his authority, was being questioned, even denied by some false brethren. Throughout this letter, he defends himself. He's defending his apostleship. Well, I was going to have you read some, but for the sake of time, he said, you suffer fools gladly. Many glory after the flesh. He said, I will glory also, but you've compelled me to do it. Talking about these people that called his apostleship into question. And he defends himself. Now, he's a true man of God. Paul is a true man of God, sent by God, chosen by God, sent by God. And one way you know that is he's meek. He's a meek man. He said things like this: I'm less than the least of all the saints. I'm not sufficient to be an apostle. But God raised him up, didn't he? He's like Moses. The Lord said Moses was the meekest man on earth. So the Lord used Moses greatly in the Old Testament and Paul to write the largest part of the New Testament, the epistles. And other men like John the Baptist were very meek men, weren't they? John the Baptist, when they came to ask him who he was, he wouldn't tell them, would he? John the Apostle never would even use his own name. Paul, he doesn't call himself Reverend Paul or Dr. Paul, just Paul. And that's proof. That's proof that God called him, and also proof is that they were in it for God's glory. I'm defending Paul here. God does. God defended John the Baptist, didn't he? He commended John the Baptist to all the people. Remember? He said, who did you go out to see? A prophet? I tell you, more than a prophet. And the Apostle Paul, the Lord had Paul write these things. Verse 1, he said, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, the glory. But I'm going to tell you about some visions and revelations of the Lord. God had Paul write this for us to confirm that this was his man and this is his word through that man. And I say this is necessary now more than ever because this whole book is called into question, especially the writing of the Apostle Paul, mostly by women, as you can imagine. But now more than ever, you and I need to have it confirmed that the words of Paul are not the words of a man at all, but the words of God. Infallible, inspired, inerrant. The Word of God. What Paul wrote is the Word of God. And God had him write this. And you know the acid test of a true minister and people? Who gets the glory? Who's getting all the glory? Who's getting all the glory? Paul said in verse 5, I will not glory. Of such a one, I will not glory. I will not glory. God's people are not going to glory in anything or anyone but Him. And it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. Because what do we have that we have not received by His grace? Paul said that, didn't he? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was sufficient in me. And he said, and he told this story of a man. He tells it in the second person, isn't it? He doesn't even say it's himself, does it? But it is. We know it is. This was when he was stoned for preaching. And they drug his body out dead. And that's what he's talking about. He said, I was carried up, this man himself was carried up into the third heaven. And I like this. Heard things. Heard things. That's what amazed him more than anything is what he heard. Things unlawful, unable, impossible to relate. The ear can't receive it. But he said in verse 7, now down in verse 7, verse 6, let's read that, verse 6. He said, I'm telling you the truth, but I'm going to leave off telling that, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. What's that? A man. Every man in his best state is still what? Just a man. A man at his best state is still a man at best. And he says, that you might not think of me above that which you see me to be, a flesh and blood sinner just like you, or he that heareth me. And lest I should be exalted above measure. And the Lord did exalt Peter, James, John, these men. There are things I don't understand about the apostles where he said, you'll sit with me on 12 tribes, judge them, 12 thrones. Remember when he said that? I don't understand that. I don't understand it. But the Lord gave these men special place, didn't it? He really did. Special powers that are no longer existent in any man. And so they were exalted, but he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. What was this thorn in the flesh that Paul had? Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. Nobody knows. The Lord wasn't pleased to tell us what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. And many speculate, but we don't know, so there's no point in trying. We do know that he had some kind of affliction of his eyes, his eyesight. Men had to write his letters for them. One epistle he did write with his own hand, he said. You see how large an epistle I wrote with my own hand. But anyway, that was an affliction. Corinthians said he's weak in his flesh. They despised him because he was, says his letters are weighty, but his bodily presence is weak and contemptible. So, but we don't know. We don't know what. I do know this, though. I do know this. Paul was a flesh and blood sinner, like you and me, like all of us, who struggled with the flesh and everything to do with the flesh. And that is Satan's tool, isn't it? Everything to do with the flesh. This is how Satan deals with flesh and blood. He uses the flesh, the things of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, pride. That's Paul talking about. Lest I should be exalted. Romans 7, you and I love this. Believers love this, don't we? He said in verse 15, that which I do, I allow not. What I would, that do I not. What I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. I agree with the law that it's good. Now, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I know, he said, that in me, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Paul struggled with the flesh, just like us. Sure he did. He's flesh. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't do it, no matter how hard I try. That's what he's saying. I cannot do it. No man can. Our Lord said, without me, doesn't matter who it is, apostle. He first said that to the apostle, didn't it? Without me, you can do nothing. He showed that to Simon Peter, didn't he? Simon Peter said, I won't do... Oh, Peter, don't ever say that. Say, by the grace of God, I won't. Always say that. But Paul said, verse 19, the good I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Men say that Paul wrote this when he was unsaved. That's men that don't know the grace of God. They don't know the grace of God, do they? We know. All of God's people have the same struggle. Every one of them. Now, he said, I find the law in me, verse 21, when I would do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the new man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my memory. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Well, if that isn't a thorn, if that isn't something that won't go away, something painful, isn't it? This indwelling sin, this old man. So I do know that much, that Paul struggled with sin and his flesh just like we do. A messenger of Satan. I know that. What he was speaking of in his body, I don't know. But he said, I like the rest of these verses, don't you? Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. With the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, oh my flesh, my old man can't do anything but sin. But now there's no condemnation to them in Christ. This body of death. How blessed is the man or the woman who has this struggle, who knows something about this struggle with sin. You remember a couple of weeks ago I tried to quote that hymn that a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Spirit has made him so. Remember that, Gabe? And there was a man visiting here and he looked at me like, what are you talking about? Well, here's what I'm talking about. Joseph Hart wrote that. He's one of the greatest hymn writers ever, isn't he? He said this, talking about Adam's sin and Christ, the second Adam, came to crush his head. He said, to understand the truth aright, this grand distinction should be known. Though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. To such as these our Lord was sent, to only sinners who repent. What comfort can a Savior bring to those who never felt their woe? A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. New life from Christ we must receive before for sin we will rightly grieve. And this is a faithful saying, let us own, well worthy 'tis to be believed, that Christ into the world came down that sinners might by Him be saved. Sinners are high in His esteem, and sinners highly value Him. Sinners are sacred thing. You understand what He's saying, don't you? That God, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, Christ said, I'll send the Comforter in John 16. He said, He will, first thing He'll do is convince you of sin. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Won't you? So you understand that, don't you? How blessed you are. And it's a humbling thing, isn't it? But humbling's good. Listen to this. The Lord said, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. But the proud, He knoweth afar off, keeps them at arm's length. But to this man will I look, He said in Isaiah 66, he that is poor and of contrite heart and trembleth at My word. Our Lord said, he that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that abaseth himself shall be exalted. It's a good thing to be abased. It's a good thing for the Lord to break us, to kill our self-love and kill self-righteousness. That's what He does for all of His people. So, you know, the Lord has blessed us if we feel this thorn called the flesh, a messenger of Satan. And like Paul, we think, Lord, please. Please, get him, let him leave me. Don't we? Please, let this leave me. You know that we have been exalted? We've been exalted. We've had visions. Haven't we seen His glory? Not with these eyes, but with the eye of faith. Haven't we? Haven't we been given an abundance of revelations? Haven't we? Yes, we have. Unless we be exalted above our fellows, He's going to keep us lowing. But I tell you, knowledge puffeth up, doesn't it? The grace edifies. Knowledge puffeth up. You know what you know, and it's particularly true of young believers. I don't know why, but it is. We get self-righteous because of what all we've learned. We look down on Arminians, you know, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with them? They're just blind. The Lord hadn't given them eyes like He did you. There's nothing to boast of. Nothing to brag about. And the Lord will bring us down again, won't it? Lest we get self-righteous. Satan is allowed to buffet us. Satan is allowed to buffet us, seeking whom he may devour. Remember when Simon Peter, the Lord said, whom do men say that I am? And Simon Peter spoke out, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, the living God. And Christ said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed that to thee, but My Father which is in heaven. A special revelation from God to that man. And He said, Upon this rock, thou art Peter, and upon this rock shall I build My church. What do you reckon Peter was doing? They all did it, didn't they? James and John, their mother got in on it. Who's going to be the greatest? None of you. Don't do that. Don't get puffed up. It's all by grace. But Peter, he, you know, and then it wasn't a few hours later till Peter, the Lord said, I'm going to Calvary's tree. And Peter said, Oh no, Lord, don't, you can't do that. Don't do, no, I won't let you do that. And the Lord turned and said, Get behind me, Satan. Said that to Peter. You know, don't you? You know something about that, the highs and the lows of a believer. The old and the new man. Some argue about that. The reason they argue is because they haven't been born again. All God's people feel that. Oh man, they struggle with it. So, here's what our Lord said to Paul. Here's what our Lord said to Paul, who asked him three times to deliver him from this thorn in the flesh. The Lord said to Paul, He said unto me, verse 9, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace. You know, I've got a big, thick book. It's called the Interlinear Bible. It's a Hebrew and Greek, actual Hebrew and Greek Bible. Okay? And then right beside the Hebrew is the literal translation into English. Word for word. Word for word. Sometimes it helps me when I'm studying. The actual word for word literal translation. And then the Greek, the word for word in the English. You know how this reads? Literally reads? Listen to this. This is wonderful. This is how it reads. Enough for you is the grace of me. And the translators, you know, what they wrote, my grace is sufficient for thee, is right. It's good. It's readable in English, okay? But it literally translates, enough for you is the grace of me. I like that, don't you? He is the grace of God, and He's enough. It's enough. Everything about Him is enough. And this is what I want to look at, how His grace is sufficient. It's enough. It's all we need. All we need. That's what He's saying. My grace is all you need. I am all you need. Christ is all. That's what you read, Brother Patrick, did you? Colossians 3:11. He's all. And in all. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know our favorite chapter, one of them, Ephesians 1. How it goes on to talk about grace be unto you. It talks about electing grace. How God chose us. Predestinating grace, accepting grace, accepted in the beloved, redeeming grace, forgiving grace, the forgiveness of sins, revealing grace, how the Lord has revealed, made known the mystery of His will, gathering grace, how He's going to gather it together in one, all things in Christ, inheriting grace. An inheritance, we've obtained an inheritance according to His predestination. Believing grace, you who trusted when you heard the word of gospel. Sealing grace, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Quickening grace, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And by grace you're saved, you know. And then He goes on to talk about resurrecting grace as He's raised us up together, made us sit together, seating grace. Everybody's going to have a good seat in glory. Seating grace. For by grace that in the ages to come, He says, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us, through Christ Jesus, for by grace are ye saved. All of that and so much more. By grace are you saved. Through faith. But even that's not of yourself. That's by grace. Saving grace. His saving grace is sufficient. It's enough to save us. By grace are you saved. And it's enough. Sufficient. Christ is sufficient to meet the law's demand. God is satisfied. God's satisfied. Like Esau, when Esau was pursuing Jacob, remember? And Jacob kept sending out things to him to appease him. Kept sending out things to him. Sending out things to him. Finally Esau said, it's enough. That's enough. I'm appeased. And when Christ came and did what He did for His people, God is satisfied. He's satisfied. The law's demand. Sufficient What Christ did is sufficient to quiet the conscience. If you look to Him, if you're not finding peace of conscience, guilty though you be, if you're not finding peace, you're looking in the wrong place. Christ said, look, come unto me. He said, look unto me, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Peace of conscience. He's sufficient to quiet the guiltiest conscience, to allay all our fears. If you're full of fears, you're looking at the wrong place. You're listening to the wrong voices. Christ, His grace is sufficient to allay all our fear. His grace is to... we're talking about His grace. We're talking about hearing it. This faith comes by hearing. We need to hear it. This is where we gather strength. Right here. Hearing about His sufficient grace. Okay? And His grace is sufficient to restore our souls, to bring back the prodigal, to raise the fallen, cheer the faint. Give us joy and rejoicing. For by grace are you saved. Nothing else is sufficient. God is called the God of all grace. The God of all grace. When He's told Moses, I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. He said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. What did He proclaim? The Lord. The Lord God. Gracious. Merciful and gracious. That's His name. He's gracious. That's His name. He delights to be gracious. And He giveth more grace. And it giveth, and it giveth, and it giveth. Liberate. And His grace is sufficient. Christ is enough. And Paul said there in that verse, the Lord said in verse 20, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Christ is the power of God, the strength of God. And in our weakness, Christ is just what we need. And in our inability, Christ is able. And in our need, Christ is enough. A needy sinner, all they need to hear is Christ. No. My. So His saving grace is sufficient. His keeping grace. His keeping grace. Jude wrote, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. We sang that song because of that one verse. Surely His grace will keep us from falling. Yes, it will. It's enough. It's sufficient to keep us from falling. All of God's people are kept by the power of God. What's that? Who's that? Christ is the power of God. And as I said, to hear the gospel, it's the power which speaks of Christ, the power of God. And all of God's people were given to the Lord Jesus Christ to keep God's people. And He said in that prayer to the Father, He said, all that Thou hast given me, I've lost nothing. And in the end, it's going to sing to the praise, we're going to sing to the praise of the glory of His grace, because He's going to say, behold, I and the children which Thou hast given me. They're all here, all present and accounted for. Why? Because He's able. He's able. Able to keep us. And they shall be kept. Even the most sinful. Goes on to say, He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. And the greatest trophy of His grace, proof of that, was that thief on the cross. The worst man on earth was the first one in the heaven with the Lord. See? He's able to present a thief and a murderer faultless. Oh my. You know, I'm the bride of Christ, so that makes me a kept woman. And that's fine with me. His saving grace is sufficient. His keeping grace is sufficient. His providential grace. Stay with me. His providential grace is enough. He said, my grace is sufficient. Sufficient to meet the need. We're promised daily bread and we're promised daily grace. To meet our need. Just what we need. Just what we need. Like manna, you can't gather it over and live on that. No, no, you got to daily ask for that grace, whatever it may be. Daily grace. You remember the story of Elijah and the widow. That barrel of oil, that barrel of meal and the cruse of oil, huh? Was it filled to the top? No. No, it wasn't. Every day she had to go back to the barrel. Remember that? Every day she needed a sufficiency. She needed just enough for that day. So she'd reach down in that barrel. Oh, I hope it's there. He promised it would be. She'd reach down, and pull up a handful of that precious meal. And go make some bread and they'd eat. Then she'd go back to that cruse of oil that she had to fry the bread in or whatever. Oh, I hope there's some there. Just enough. Just enough. That's what he means, his grace is enough. Enough. Sufficient for the day. His providential grace. Most of God's people live check to check. I do. Some of you are up in years now. John's sitting there nodding his head. He's retired. Yeah, right. He's still working, isn't it? We still have needs. Most of God's people live from check to check, and that's fine. Keeps us dependent, doesn't it? Keeps us looking to the Lord to provide our need, doesn't it? He's the one that gave us everything. He's promised to keep. He said, God's seed will never beg bread. Never. They'll never be without. He said that. He said, if he feeds the little sparrow, are you not worth much more than many sparrows? They don't sow, they don't reap, but your Heavenly Father feeds them. How much more, he said. But it's a daily thing, isn't it? And every one of us think, is it going to be there? Don't we? Every one of us. Maybe some of you are older and have a little bit set aside, but still, we certainly need His grace daily, day by day. And He's promised it to be sufficient. Never runs out. An inexhaustible supply of grace. So don't worry about it. Go to work and don't worry about it. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Earn that money. The Lord gave it to you. Remember that. Where it came from. And remember, you ain't going to go hungry. No, sir. So His providential grace is enough. And every form of grace that we need is sufficient. Teaching grace. We're little children. We need to be taught, don't we? We need to be taught. I mean, we need to be taught. We never reach a point. We don't need to be taught, do we? In fact, we sometimes reach the point where we think, haven't I learned anything yet? Like faith, don't we? Don't we, Nancy? We think, after all these years, surely I'll trust Him and never doubt it. Surely. Yeah, right. What's it going to take? He's going to keep teaching us. He's going to keep showing us. Teaching, great. But He doesn't teach us too much because we get puffed up. Knowledge puffeth up. Maturing grace. Growth in grace. Peter said, growing grace. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, you may grow thereby. Growing in grace. Well, this growth is not too fast. It's not fast enough to suit me. But it's just enough. The Lord gives growth in grace as He sees fit. Like the grace of love and mercy and kindness and generosity and faith and so forth. And we feel like we don't have any of that, but He gives us just enough to keep from despairing. Huh? You do love the brethren, don't you? Sure you do. And you're not. I love what John Newton wrote. He said, I'm not what I want to be. He said, I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But thank God, I'm not what I used to be. Didn't used to give God a thought.
did it? Love myself supremely. Didn't love anybody else but me, right? That's grace. That's
maturing grace. Waiting grace. Patience. Oh boy, I need it bad. I need it now. That's the hardest thing of all to come by. How often does the Lord say, wait? Wait on the Lord. Wait. What does wait mean? He's wait. Instead of running ahead or doing this, that, and you know, stop. Their strength, Isaiah 30 said, is to sit still and wait. Just wait. Wait. You'll see. He said, David said, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So he says, wait. I say, wait on the Lord. He'll exalt you. You'll see in due time. Psalm 73, we love that, don't we? Oh, my. I was envious at the foolish. Wait, hold on. You're going to see them. They're spreading their wings like a green bat. Wait, they'll come to nothing. Psalm 37, don't fret. Wait. Waiting grace. He has to teach us that, doesn't he? That's to teach us to wait. That's a lifelong thing. Enduring grace. Grace to endure whatever. Paul, in this very epistle, back in chapter 11, talked about how he was in labors, often stripes above measure, beaten, prison, facing death often, beaten with rod, stone, shipwreck, journeyings often, perils of water, perils of robbers, my own country, perils of the heathen, perils of the sea, perils in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, weary, painful, in watchings, hunger, thirst, fasting, cold, naked. God's grace was sufficient. It was sufficient in all those things. In every trial. I was talking to an older believer years ago who was going through a terrible trial with his son. Just an inexpressible grief, such as some of you have gone through. And he said, made this statement, I don't think I can take any more. But I'm here to tell you, and he lived to tell that he did. Why? Because Christ said, my grace is sufficient to endure whatever. The Lord used Job, didn't he, to show us that a man can endure there's nothing more that a human being could endure than what Job endured, can it? Nothing more. He had nothing more to lose. Everything was gone. Everyone was gone but his Lord. And Job still said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. I know my Redeemer liveth. And the Lord gave. And the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is that? That's grace. That's grace. His grace is sufficient. He could. And the Lord blessed him greatly in the end. Constraining grace. His constraining grace is sufficient. Every time I start to stand up here, I think, I can't do this. I can't do this. Sunday, last Sunday, and it's just all the time. But sometimes more than others, don't we? We think, I literally feel like I'm going to faint. I think I can't do this. Not nerves, not per se, but I just think, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. But His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. Constraining. I can't do this. All of you. Some of you have to go to work and you have physical afflictions, don't you? Got two ladies sitting right over here. And on throughout this You say, I can't do this anymore. His grace is sufficient. It's
just enough.
Daily.
Day by day.
Day by day.
His grace.
Day by day.
Constraining grace.
Grace to constrain you to come. To come. How many times have you said, I'm not going to worship tonight. I can't. I just can't. I'm just too tired. How many times? Huh? But you did anyway, Amy. Look how far she has to drive. Do you know how few people would do that? His grace is sufficient to constrain you. How many times, Amy, have you been glad that you did? Constrain you. Constrain the love of Christ. Constrain. This is one of my favorites. Restraining grace. His restraining grace is sufficient.
Mm.
I love this. It's my favorite verse in all the Bible right now. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law. You're under grace. You could say you're under Christ. That's what you could. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Paul wrote that in Romans 6. Right before he wrote Romans 7. To prepare us. You feel like it does, but it shall not. Christ is able to subdue all things unto himself. Sin shall not have dominion over us. We're not under the law. The law, just like Satan uses the law, doesn't he? Satan buffets us with the law, doesn't he? You're guilty. I know it. But Christ says, no, you're not. Christ is kept guiltless, blameless, holy. Look to Christ. He says, kept. Kept. Grace, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Because greater is He that is in you, Christ in you, than he that's in the world, that old man. Yep. The elder, the old man, shall serve the younger. Yes, sir. His grace is sufficient. And time's not sufficient. I got to quit to tell the half of it. But I know His grace is sufficient. Verse 10, He said this, I'll take pleasure. So I glory in my infirmities. Infirmities means felt weaknesses. Paul said, I know I'm weak. He said, that's fine. Well, so then the power of Christ rests upon me. This gospel's for weak people. Not for the strong. Not for the mighty. Not for the noble. For the nothings, the nobodies, the base, the weak. This is for the weak. Poor. Infinite riches are for the poor. Full free pardon for the guilty. Mercy is for the guilty. Grace is for the needy. Free grace. His grace is sufficient. And Paul said, I take pleasure in my infirmity. And I don't know too much about this, but I want to learn. He said, in reproaches and necessities and persecution, distresses for Christ's sake. Because when I'm weak, He shows Himself strong. I'm strong in Him. When I'm weak. You know, our Zerubbabel, who's author and finisher, like Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. He's a type of Christ. And our Zerubbabel is going to, the prophet says, going to lay the top stone in the end with shoutings. You know what it said? Anybody quote it? Grace! Grace unto it. When the temple's finally built and the top stone is laid on, the top stone is laid in a foundation of grace. And the capstone, to cap it all off, said everybody's going to shout, grace! Grace! It's all of grace. Saved by grace. We sang that song. Saved by grace alone. This is all my play. Christ said, my grace is sufficient. Saving grace, keeping grace, provisional grace, enduring grace, teaching grace, keeping grace, restraining grace, constraining grace. Name something. It's all of grace. By the grace of God, we are what we are. And His grace will
keep you, will save you. Okay, stand with me. Our Lord, thank you for your marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Thank you for salvation by grace, not of works, but by grace. And that the promise is sure to all the elect. It's by grace through faith that the promise might be sure. How we thank you. It's all by grace. That Christ is the grace, unspeakable gift of God. Christ is our gracious Master who came to save us and did just that and keeps us. Sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to keep His people, to teach, lead, guide, direct. How we thank you for this great gift, salvation by grace. Lord, bring this passage to our minds as we need it, that we might go to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And that's daily. Cause each person in here to each morning call upon you for that daily supply of grace. Call upon you that we might grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord, to look to Him. This is our prayer. We thank you for your word, which gives us such peace and comfort. Go with your people. Watch over them throughout the rest of this week. Bring us back this Lord's Day to hear of this same marvelous grace. It's in His name we pray and met together. Amen. You're dismissed.